Good morning. Please do be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, remind us this morning that you are always with us and that all shall be well. Amen. The Beatitudes, the blessed are's from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I think over the years that this list has come to symbolise a to-do list or a list of virtues, as if it's virtuous to be grieving or suffering from depression. I don't buy that. I think that is missing the point. What Jesus talked about all the time, until they shut him up, was the kingdom of God. And when he was raised from the dead, he asked people to keep telling others what he talked about and what he did. He told his followers to keep on talking about the kingdom. The message of Jesus was that the world's systems were cruel, corrupt, and dodgy. The rule of might, including state-sponsored murder, was wrong and would come to an end. The rule of religion, with petty rules, judgmentalism, and we are in and you are out, was wrong and would come to an end. And yet, with God's incarnation as Jesus, God showed us what God's kingdom was about and what it would look like when all the people of the world saw the value of God's ways and put them into practice. The Beatitudes were contrasting the way his kingdom treats these groups of people with how the systems of the present world treat them. As well as his words, Jesus' actions also showed what his kingdom looks like. He healed people. He fed people. He forgave people. He included people. He had fun with people. And he even raised people from the dead. Church has often sought to bring about the kingdom by crushing. The conservative wing of the church has sought to do this by crushing personal sin, by continuing the Pharisees' mistake of keeping up appearances, judging people who fall outside of their standards, and very much emphasising us versus them. The pioneering, more progressive wing of the church has sought to crush institutional sin. It has tried to condemn and fight against capitalism, slavery, poor environmental stewardship, unjust war. Now, personal and institutional sin matter. But I am grateful to Dallas Willard for giving me some much-needed perspective on this. In his book, The Divine Conspiracy, he called both of these approaches sin management. This is where the church tries to improve people's morals or defeat the current world systems, but sort of forgets God is in charge. Doesn't really seek God, doesn't really trust God. Jesus was reluctant to use force to achieve his kingdom. He didn't call a legion of angels to rescue him from the cross and kill the Roman soldiers. And today it can be a long and soul-destroying slog to deliver God's kingdom all by ourselves. It's especially hard in the middle of COVID, which is beginning to feel like always winter and never Christmas. I think it can feel so hard because we forget that God is working God's purposes out through every one of us. Jesus said in John chapter 12 that when he was lifted up in crucifixion, he would draw all people to him. And I believe that he will. It was why he came, and he was kind enough to explain it right there in John's Gospel. Tom Wright says this about that event: the moment when the kingdom of God overcomes the kingdoms of the world. It is the moment when a great old door, locked and barred since our first disobedience, swings open, suddenly to reveal not just the garden opened once more to our delight, but the coming city. The garden city that God had always planned and is now inviting us to go through the door and build with him. The dark power that stood in the way of this kingdom vision has been defeated, overthrown, rendered null and void. Now, I would take issue with Tom about disobedience. I think it's our false idea about God that most needed healing. But I love his understanding that what Jesus did was and is world-changing and profoundly significant. Will it be brought to completion? Yes. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But sometime when his plans have all worked out. I think as we go into another lockdown, we need to remember and reflect on that. A time is promised to us when we will have the kind of world prophesied by John in Revelation. When God will wipe every tear from our eyes. This is the good news of the kingdom, brought about by love and grace, by hope and inclusion, by God and us and them. The systems which cause us to cry will not be forever. The injustice, the cruelty and the greed will be gone. So do you believe the good news of the kingdom as set out in today's readings? C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity said that that there were three ways to relate to Jesus. Either he was mad, a liar, or telling the truth about who he is. I believe Jesus is the Christ. part of the triune God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of the world. Christ has the power and goodness to bring this about. But when has been a perennial cry through the ages. I think of this like children in a car on a long journey. Are we there yet? Mum knows exactly where she is going. She's worked out the route. She copes admirably with roadworks and diversions along the way. We stop for a rest here, or a wee there, or lunch, or even a sleepover. But we do get there. Not in the kids' time, who keep asking, are we there yet? With regard to the kingdom of God, our job is to trust God as our driver, as our mum, and stay in the car with our seatbelts on. Come back to the car after the services and take turns with the music and share the sweets with our brother and sister along the way. Let them lean on our shoulder to sleep when they are tired. Hold the bag when they throw up. Let them read our comic when they are bored. And rejoice with them when we see where God has been driving us. We have to stay close to God. Spend time with God. Listen to Holy Spirit. Read the Bible. And do the little jobs that God would have us do. A kind word here. A gift there. A speaking up. A stepping out. What has all this got to do with All Saints Day? Well, I think it's horrid when people die. Jesus did too. He wept when his friend died, even though he knew he would raise him from the dead. It's right that we come together to remember our lost loved ones. But it's also rubbish when decisions are made, like not paying to feed kids during the school holidays. And it hurts when little ones drown in the English Channel, conned by mafia types into paying money they can ill afford just to get away from heartache, fear and suffering. And it hurts going into another lockdown. We are all hurting from these things too, as well as missing dead loved ones. But today is another opportunity to remember the good news of the kingdom of God. That through his death, Jesus will draw all people to him into everlasting and ever lovely life. And I don't know the timescales. I don't even know if it is about linear time. If I were clever enough to understand quantum physics, I might have more of a clue. Jesus said some very mysterious things, like before Abraham was, I am, and today you will be with me in paradise. He also said that only the father knows the when, just like the mum driving the car. So today is not just about hope about seeing our dead loved ones. It's about hope for all of us. Hope about coronavirus. Hope about unemployment. Hope about our debts. Hope about our court case. Hope about our addictions. Hope about our operation. Hope about peace on earth. Hope in a kingdom where everyone is blessed. When Jesus died on the cross, people close to him thought it was over. But it was just the beginning. God likes to remind me what my friend Julian said. All shall be well. And it really shall. Amen.